Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it's Friday, December 21st, 2018. Good afternoon, Dave.
'Twas the weekend before Christmas, and all through the house, everybody was out doing last-minute shopping.
Oh, I thought no one was stirring, not even a mouse.
Well, then that's in Washington, that may be true.
Well, I don't know what they're doing in Washington, but I'll tell you what, the markets are looking like they don't think they're going to sign this bill. I really believe that they will. We'll talk about this after the market report, but I just can't believe they let the government shut down today. Although, is government open on Monday?
Yes. Yeah, that's not a holiday. Now, some offices within certain agencies, like in the legislative branch, they may given their staff 2 days off. That occasionally happens, like the day after Thanksgiving is another example. But it's open for business as far as I've seen, depending upon whether or not there's a shutdown, of course.
Well, I think if they do shut it down today, I think they'll agree upon stuff come Monday. They're not going to shut it down. Well, I shouldn't say they're not, but...
Well, the agencies are open Monday. I'm not so sure that members of Congress want to be in Washington or, in fact, plan to be in Washington. So that may be the die that's cast next week.
All righty. Well, let's go ahead and do the market report today. We have gold down $450 at $1,255.90. Silver's down 15 cents at $14.68. Platinum was down 7 at $792. And palladium was down big 2.5%, $32 at $1,237. USDX today was up 0.59, back up over 97. At 97.03, crude oil was down 56 cents at 45.32. And the paper markets got hit. They were up a couple hundred points this morning, I believe, Dave, didn't have the opportunity to follow it all day long, but it was stronger this morning, down 415 points, 22,443. NASDAQ down 3%, 195 points. Boy, NASDAQ is just getting beaten up, thrown out with the bathwater. 6,332. The S&P was down a little over 2%, down 50 at 2416, 2,416. 10-year yield is still holding at 2.79%. My fear and greed index is extreme fear at 4, and even Bitcoin was down almost 7% today. So pressure on everything today, and I don't think there was not a lot of course all eyes are focused on what the government is doing, and that certainly doesn't fare well. What's interesting, Dave, and we're going to talk a little bit more about it. The Dow is ending its worst week in 10 years. They'll talk about it's down, the last 52 weeks. But you don't hear anybody talking about this is heading to be the worst December since the Depression. Nobody talks about that. You don't hear too many people referencing the Depression in this month of December. At least I haven't.
No, an article, a commentary here or there, but particularly among the Wall Streeters, they're avoiding that linkage like the plague, not wanting to, further spook investors, as the end of the year approaches, and a lot of uncertainty remains out there. So I'm with you.
Well, you know, the initial tick upward this morning came as the Federal Reserve Bank of New York Fed, President John Williams said that the Fed could reassess its interest rate policy and the balance sheet reduction in the new year if the economy slows. I've even been reading articles about, you know, they're expecting rate cuts next year, a possibility. But the broader S&P 500 fell less than 0.1%, and the tech-heavy Nasdaq composite shed 7% as these technology shares began to roll over. So that was early, early in the event.
Yeah.
Tell us, give us a review of the wreckage.
Well, you know, yesterday, as you alluded to, the Dow and Nasdaq posted their lowest closed since October last year. The S&P finished its lowest level since September of 2017. The Nasdaq briefly entered a bear market before recovering, and I believe as it closes today, it's back into bear territory. That is, you know, more than a 20% decline from its 52-week high. Now, you know, the S&P has lost about 6% this week. Nasdaq is down over 8%. Wow. And the Dow has shed, well, last time I looked at it, it was 5.5% again since Monday. The Dow and the S&P, which were in correction as the day began, are on track for their worst December performance, as you mentioned, Melody, since the Great Depression in 1931, down more than 10% each this month. Nasdaq right behind. Dow's on track for its worst month since February 2009, in the heart of that financial crisis. The Russell 2000, which listeners know tracks the performance of the stocks of smaller companies, is on pace for its worst month since the beginning of the financial crisis in October 2008. Now, both the Dow and the S&P are now in the red this year by at least 7%, Melody.
So this year's gains just wiped out.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And we also had word that now the third quarter of the economy has slowed a little bit more than what was previously estimated, but the pace was likely strong enough to keep everything on track to hit President Trump's 3% target this year, even as momentum did moderate. GDP increased at a 3.4% annualized rate, the Commerce Department said this morning, and in its third reading of third quarter GDP growth. This was slightly down from the 3.5% estimated back in October, and certainly well, you know, above the economy's growth potential, which some economists had estimated to be about 2%. So, inventory accumulation was, however, much bigger than previously estimated. There were downward revisions to business spending on equipment and non-residential structures, as well as residential investments, Dave.
Yeah, tell you going into the end of the fourth quarter here, it's not looking too ripe. You know, the economy we know grew at a 4.2% pace in the second quarter, and you know, the other day the Fed slightly lowered its growth projections for 2019. Now, growth, as we've talked about many times this year, has been driven this year by the administration's $1.5 trillion tax cut package, which has given consumer spending a temporary jolt. Most of the increase in business spending has gone toward stock buybacks. The fiscal stimulus was a part of measures adopted by the White House to, you know, boost annual growth to 3% on an ongoing basis. But the economy does appear to be slowing in the fourth quarter now, amid amongst, I should say, a consensus of economists, and that's amid a widening trade deficit, you know, sluggish business spending on equipment, as Melody just mentioned, and a weak housing market. This slowdown in growth is expected to spill over into 2019 as the tax cut effects fade, you know, and particularly if this trade war with China, you know, continues on unabated, you know, with the relatively strong dollar, you know, undercutting manufacturing. So we'll see. Growth estimates for the fourth quarter are around 2.9%, Melody.
Well, you know, it's interesting how You really don't hear much discussions on trade disputes anymore, or the tariffs, or I mean, that just kind of has disappeared. And I did see one statement. We talked a little bit of yesterday about the farm bill being signed yesterday, and I heard a comment. I don't know how, I didn't have a chance to research it, but they said that a lot of the wheat farmers are changing out their crops to cotton. And I thought that was very interesting, but very concerning, because wheat is food. And we're eliminating a crop that is important, farmers are doing because they can't, I guess they see more money in cotton, and cotton, I would guess, would be used for textiles, which, you'd be able to sell to a lot of these other countries as far as, and I'm not sure how that all plays into the tariffs and, the subsidies and the so forth. So, I just thought that was kind of interesting. But to think that we're
Interesting.
giving up a, and it was just a small part of the farmers giving up their crops, but so
Well,
I.
maybe there's still a chance we're going to go gluten-free here, Melody, in the new year.
Maybe.
Maybe that's the positive news to take away from this.
Well, if we grew the right type of wheat that we're supposed to, we wouldn't have to worry about gluten. But
How about it?
anyway, let's see. Consumer spending, it accounts for more than two-thirds of U.S. economic activity, increased at a 3.5% rate in the third quarter. So that's good news. But slightly down than estimated at the 3.6% that was estimated in November. And Dave, we talked about, I mentioned it just a little bit ago, about how the Feds are reconsidering the 2019 rate hikes
Well,
already.
Fed New York President John Williams this morning said the Fed is open to reconsidering its views on rate hikes next year. The New York Fed's considered, the most important of the 12 branches, and John Williams certainly speaking up after a controversial move on Wednesday, raising hikes another 0.25%. Williams said, "We are listening. There are risks to our outlook that maybe the economy will slow further." He said despite this week's Fed forecasts revised, the Fed's not just sitting there saying we know for sure what's going to happen next year. The market jumped after Williams signaled more willingness for the Fed to rethink rate hikes and its balance sheet policy. That was earlier this morning, as Melody mentioned at the top of the show. Investors were certainly focused on Jerome Powell's comments on Wednesday that the balance sheet reduction program is going well and will proceed as planned. That's well, you can take it away and give details about that, Melody.
It was funny on early morning Bloomberg. I heard, what's her name? Cohen. I'm not a fan of hers. It works for Goldman Sachs. Abby Cohen.
Oh, yeah.
She has a middle name in there, but I can't recall it at this moment. She says the happy, but I did think this was funny. She says the happiest woman on the planet. Do you know who that would be? The happiest woman on the planet.
Besides my wife,
The happiest woman on the planet, yes.
go for it. Tell us.
Janet Yellen.
Oh, boy.
And I thought that was funny because she probably is really happy that she's not in the position that Jerome Powell is. And certainly we I guess you have to be follow these reports and news stories to appreciate that, but
If we were in the late 60s and 70s, I could picture Jerome being the subject of, oh gosh, what was, oh, a Rowan and Martin Laugh-In skit with that boom, pow, just taking it all over.
But we know. Tell us a little bit about now they're going data dependent. They're bringing back Janet Yellen's words.
Well, and
Data
interesting,
dependent.
I think that's, I'm not sure what that's meant to do, if how that was, if it was meant to reassure the market, and perhaps that Well, you know what? I don't. It certainly doesn't give me cause for celebration. But you know, Williams and you know, he thinks certainly the Fed's going to rethink or could rethink the two hikes now that are scheduled for next year. He says we're data dependent. We're going to adjust our views dependent on how the outlook changes. Well, you know what, ladies and gentlemen? Hallelujah. Geez, thanks for nothing, guys. Powell on Wednesday left the door open to other options next year. Again, he emphasized data dependency and said if the data, you know, don't hold up next year, the Fed may change course. You know, Peter Buchvar, he's the paper market strategist we quote every now and then. He said the Fed wants to shrink its balance sheet. They know it's big; it hamstrings them in the next downturn. The market knows it's a steady drip liquidity drain every month. And as we know, the Fed continues to hear criticism from the president. Just on Monday, before the latest rate hike, Trump said it's incredible the Fed's even considering yet another interest rate hike. And Melody, so it goes on and on and on.
Well, we talk about, the rate increases, we talk about the economy slowing and so forth and whatnot, but what I really feel is a lot of this is a lot of distractions, and the bottom line that's really affecting is our debt.
Yeah.
And I really think that has come to the point, naturally, with these higher rates, we can't service the debt. You got governments, Russia's not buying our debt anymore. I saw where I think China picked up a little bit on buying our debt, but still far off from where they were. You have to have, hey, you have to get people to get in there and buy the treasuries. So, people do go there for a safe haven. So it again, are these markets being orchestrated in order to, I don't know. It's crazy. And it's, to me, it just shows how, I mean, we're at this point, and how these markets are stressed, how our financial markets are, it's systemic. And not just here in the States, but globally. And so I think the issues are far deeper than what any of these economists are talking about. They're pretty much just saying the same old thing. And but I think it's a whole lot deeper than that. And there's someone else, Jim Cramer. Everybody knows we're not a fan of Jim Cramer, but every once in a while he'll say something that's worth paying attention to. He's the consummate Wall Street cheerleader, and he says the worst thing about the Fed's latest interest rate hike is that the Fed chair seemed to ignore what Cramer regards as a serious weakness in the economy. And we're going to pick up there when we come back, because in the same sentence we're going to say Jim Cramer and gold. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We do have some 90% 50-cent pieces, 90% silver 50-cent pieces. And we're going to continue the special from yesterday, 305, includes your shipping costs. For $25 face value, and for $315, you can get yourself some brilliant uncirculated. It's a deal. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188, and that brilliant uncirculated is 90% 50-cent pieces. So great deal. Give us a call at 800-375-4188. Kramer, James Kramer, said that he wasn't very happy with Powell. Kramer has questioned Powell's reasoning. He reiterated that the economy has cooled and bring in the part where he says about gold, Dave.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. You know, after he talked about two examples of a softer economy, Carnival Corporation and Accenture, whose experiences recently he thinks, is further proof of a slowing down economy, he's hoping that Powell knows that the next rate hike will be real bad for Main Street. But here's the crux, ladies and gentlemen, and I hope you're sitting down. You know, while Powell stays the course, Kramer recommends buying into the bull market in gold. I kid you not. Now, he didn't elaborate on that. I actually went back to that interview to see if he said anything more. I didn't hear it, but the mere fact that this Wall Streeter mainstay is saying buy gold, if us not telling you is enough, listen to the paper market guy. He's doing it. You should too. We agree. I mean, call Discount Gold and Silver today at 1-800-375-4188. Melody.
You know, it is interesting because they all know, that it's just the game they play. And, if he says buy into the bull market in gold, and that's where we are at, ladies and gentlemen. And you can start by buying some 90% silver and pick up my special. And we talked a little bit about this already, Dave, about the government shutdown. And, it seems that it will appear. We saw that the House passed a bill yesterday. But, what wasn't that? They just passed that bill because they were given the money for their little projects because of the, no one mentions that, the additional money, or I don't know if it's additional money for all of these catastrophic events. The devastation in California, the fires, and so...
Yeah, it's
they were bought off again.
Yeah, it's and we're not sure if it's going to result in any meaningful action, which at this point, means that the Senate's either got to vote today to accept the House version, which has apparently $5 billion toward the president's wall, or they're going to reject that. The House will go back into an evening session and revisit the Senate version, which includes none. Or nothing further will happen after the Senate vote. And there are obviously other options galore, but yeah, the president's made it clear at this point. I'm not sure if we can avoid shutdown of the 25% of the government, nine departments, including Homeland Security,
Departments of Justice and State. We can't afford to keep them working.
Yeah, that's their authority.
We can't afford to keep them working, yeah.
Lapses after midnight, 12:01 a.m.
Well,
Saturday morning.
Durable good orders are slowing the economy a little bit, aren't they? Or suggesting that the economy is slowing.
Well, you know, the Commerce Department reported this morning that durable good orders rose, I mean, a relatively meaningful 0.8% in November, following a, you know, sharp fall of 4.3 the previous month. But, you know, the big thing with that 0.8%, it includes commercial and military aircraft. If you take that out, the numbers are substantially different. Means that orders would have dropped 0.3%. The figure suggests that U.S. factory output, while, you know, solid in some respects, will slow in the coming months. You know, exports of U.S. manufactured products fell sharply last quarter. China's economic growth is shrinking, Melody, and Germany, you know, which is Europe's economic engine, saw its economy shrink as well. It's going to be touch and go here for the next couple of months. This is just another indication that things aren't looking so hot.
No. And, you know, it's kind of a wind down on Friday. It was an exciting week, a lot of news to absorb. It's incredible the amount of news that's coming out this week. No wonder the markets would react. They don't like all this stuff going on. And I can't even imagine what 2019 is going to be. Because it's going to be a continuation, I believe, of this week with Mattis stepping down. And it'll be interesting to see who his replacement is. I don't think they mentioned anyone yet for his replacement. He's there till February anyway, I believe.
Yeah. Perhaps there's some hope that he can be convinced to change his mind. I do not see that. Do not see that happening. I think you said it, though, in the last segment, Melody. The underlying factor here continues to be, and to a large extent has always been, the massive debt.
Yes.
Situation. The $22 trillion in national debt, in the public debt.
That they admit to.
Yeah, well, correct, yeah. I mean, there's the trillions of dollars of personal debt, you know, credit card, auto loan, student loan debt. There's a massive amount of state and local government debt, some of which is being added to pay off pension liabilities, which is sort of counterintuitive to incur debt to pay off debt. So any little bit of extra news, we think now, we're seeing it to some extent in, you know, the increase in the fear indexes, the CBOE volatility VIX index, as Melody just said, and I agree with that assessment, that, you know, any bit of extra bad news is just going to result in a memorable, or perhaps one, you know, a new year will want to forget, unless you're a gold and silver investor. Don't be left out, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, you know, too, if there wasn't a true plunge protection team, with the amount of news this week, the markets really should have been down twice as much.
Mm-hmm.
So one of these days, and you know what, I was talking to someone earlier today, it was just not too long ago that we reported on the the stock market supercomputer that launched with glitches. That was just back on November 14th. And this was when the SEC ordered the creation of the Consolidated Audit Trail in 2012 after regulators found that they didn't have enough information to explain, you know, the sudden market declines known as flash crashes that happened back in 2010. So you wonder, you know, you bring on this supercomputer just in November. So you wonder, how is that protecting? Again, would we normally would have seen a double decline in the paper markets than what was actually experienced? So, I mean, we'll never know. But these are things that we talk about and people have a tendency to forget, you know, and I just think it's great that we're pulling troops out of Syria, but what was the deal behind it? We gave $5 billion to Turkey. Was that part of the deal that so we don't know. You know, the deal with Mexico, willing to, you know, keep the immigrants in Mexico until they can be processed and so forth. Well, we just gave them $5 billion too. You know, Kushner just received the highest award that you could receive from Mexico. We've had Pence and Kushner and Ivanka go to the new president's inauguration. They left the G20 meeting to go to that. And then Kushner received this highest award that the country of Mexico can give to a foreigner. So they get $5 billion. Nobody connects these dots anymore. You know, we focus on one thing, we think it's a great thing, but how and why did we get there? Or doesn't the how and why matter anymore?
It should.
You know, so, you know, sure, the bottom line, the end of the road is a good thing. We all want our troops to come home. But what did we give away? What did we give away, if anything, other than money? It's
time to tell. Some are saying we sold out to Kurds.
You know,
we'll talk about that in a little bit.
But I don't know if we, you know, I don't know if we sold them out. I believe in bringing our troops home, but I also believe there's a right and a wrong way too. And we should, a lot of places we should, even North Korea. He now comes out. He's getting tough again. Wow, we're not going to denuclearize. We talked about this yesterday a little bit. We're not going to denuclearize until the U.S. removes the threat. Well, the threat is the South Korea troops, and there's a lot of them there. And I don't know. It's interesting, and, you know, a lot of this might just go right over, Dave, and it doesn't mean anything, and, you know, everything will be fine, and, you know, just go on, same as usual. But there comes a day when it's not going to be the same as usual, particularly in our financial markets. It's not just going to keep on going. There is going, is it tomorrow? I don't know. Next year? I don't know. I think 2019 is going to be a very exciting year for gold and silver. But one of these days, it's not going to be business as usual, you know. So, are we there now? I think we're pretty close. But we have Ford. Are we at the? Let's do your brevity is golden. That'll kind of lighten up things a little bit. It's time for our weekly segment. Brevity is golden, and it looks like this topic is always a good one. Words. We like words.
Indeed, they're our bread and butter. Words, Melody, racial justice, obstruction of justice, social justice, Justice the Clothing Store, the Justice Department. Well, Merriam-Webster has chosen that word, justice, as its 2018 word of the year. And that's driven by the churning news cycle over months and months throughout the year. Now, the word follows toxic, which is picked by Oxford Dictionaries, and Misinformation, picked by Dictionary.com. Pete Sokolowski, who we mention once a year around this time, he's Merriam-Webster's editor-at-large, said that justice consistently bubbled into the top 20 or 30 lookups on the web on the company's website. You know, while it's one of those common words people like to know how to spell and use correctly in a sentence, Sokolowski pointed to other reasons that drive search traffic. Among them is an attempt to focus a train of thought around a philosophical problem or to seek some kind of aspirational motivation. You know, such well-known words are often, you know, the most looked up every year, including those that are slightly abstract, like love. The designation for justice soon came after the president's one-time fixer, Michael Cohen, was sentenced to 3 years in prison for a variety of crimes. Interesting timing. It also comes ahead of a Senate vote on the First Step Act. It came ahead. They've taken that vote. Since then, it's the criminal reform bill that passed earlier this week with broad bipartisan support. I think it was 87-12. Of course, remember earlier in the year, Kim Kardashian West, the cultural icon, not once but twice paid a White House visit on the president to talk about prison and sentencing reform. Sokolowski says these are stories that connect to the culture and to society across races, across classes. You know, we get this word that filters in. He said that searches for justice throughout the year, when compared to 2017, were up 74% on the site that has more than 100 million page views a month. Not surprised. I'm probably there a dozen times a month myself. And nearly 500,000 entries. You know, to be the word of the year worthy, an entry has to show both high volume of traffic and a significant year-over-year increase in lookups, as opposed to, say, a word that merely buzzed or, you know, just felt lofty. Now, among the other words that experienced lookup spikes this year but just didn't quite make it to the top, maverick, after Senator John McCain died, respect, after Aretha Franklin died, epiphany. I didn't know this one, the title of a BTS K-pop song that dropped earlier this year. I guess BTS K-pop, or BTS K must be the name of the artist. And nationalism, which, you know, Trump declared himself, you know, a nationalist at a late October rally in Texas. A lot more we could talk about, Melody, but that is this week's Brevity is Golden.
It'd be interesting to keep track of the words, maybe not the main one, but, you know, the words that were similar but didn't make the cut, like maverick, respect, I don't know, just to see the, you know, the degree of, not the numbers, but the degree of difficulty, I guess. Because it's hard to believe that, like, respect, you know, would have that many hits.
Yeah.
Look up.
Yeah, right.
Versus something that is, little, you know.
Yeah, off the beaten track, a little more difficult to pronounce.
Hey, we're heading into a break, ladies and gentlemen. Right back, right after a few short messages. Won't you tell me again tonight?
Each and every heart is food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Yeah, I'm going to have to bribe the producer, Todd, to see if we can't get some new bumper music for next year. In fact, I want to give a heads out to Clark. I didn't have a chance to listen to it today, but he sent me some music on a CD, and there's four of them, I believe. There's four songs that are originals from Clark, and are copyrighted. And he gave one. He wrote one for me for a opening song. So I'm anxious and excited to listen to it, and we'll have to figure out how we can get that done. And I guess it's so I'm very excited about that. I want to thank him for sending me the CD, and I'll make sure I listen to it. Yeah, isn't that exciting?
Way to go, Clark.
I know, isn't that exciting? So we'll see what we can do, and maybe we can get some of this music changed heading into 2019. And of course, our holiday schedule, let me bring that to the listeners. We're officially closed Monday and Tuesday. However, you know, call me, leave a message. If I'm not here, leave a message. It's very difficult for me just to close shop and not pay any attention to my clients. So, but we are scheduled to be closed Monday and Tuesday. For those two shows, we'll probably just play Christmas music like we normally do for the holidays. And we will do a show on Wednesday, and then also the following week we will have 2 days off, Monday and Tuesday, for the New Year's. So
programs on Thursday and Friday next week as well.
That is correct,
as well as our weekly blog that comes out on Friday.
That is correct. There will be no newsletter for 2 weeks. So, you get a little bit of a break from us, ladies and gentlemen. So,
don't get used to it.
Ford is recalling 874,000 pickups. They announced that this morning. And in North America, for engine block heaters for fire risks. So, many of you who live up there in the north where it gets cold and you drive a Ford, pay attention. The second largest U.S. automaker said the recall covers some 2015 and 2019 Ford F-150 trucks. Isn't that their most popular truck?
I believe it is.
Along with the 2017 and 2019 Ford F-250 Super Duty and the F-350 Super Duty, F-450 Super Duty, and of course we cannot leave out the Super F-550. So Ford said water and contaminants may get in the block heater's cable splice connector, causing corrosion and damage and potentially a fire. Ford told regulators it is aware of the report of three fires in Canada that was linked to the issue. There were no injuries, and the recall covers 410,000 vehicles in the United States and about 464,000 in Canada, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, it just sounds like another nail in the coffin of just this iconic U.S. company. Mm-hmm. You know, which not too long ago said, like, you know, like GM would be eliminating the manufacture of its sedan. So, whew, that's big news. Not happy news, but, you know, it beats a layoff of 874,000 people. So, in the whole scheme of things,
yes.
Let's look at this as, you know, one step above catastrophic. Looks as though new Russia missile tests succeed again, Melody.
Yes. Are you referencing the government shutdown?
Oh no, the Russia missile tests, the hypersonic missile.
Okay. All right. Yes. They conducted another successful test, and people said Russia has carried out five total tests of its ship-based hypersonic missile since 2015. The last known test of the device, dubbed Sirkon, was successfully conducted December 10th. It actually reached a top speed of Mach 8, approximately 8 times the speed of sound, or about 2 miles per second. That's pretty impressive. And the successful tests show that the Russians were able to achieve sustained flight, and this is a feat that is crucial to the development of these hypersonic weapons.
Yeah, you know, the U.S. intelligence report noted that production of the missile, slated to begin in 2021 and will join the Kremlin's arsenal no earlier than 2022. The latest development means the U.S. will have to make up even more ground as both Russia and China bolster their arsenals with hypersonic weapons at what looks to be a breakneck pace. You know, James Acton, who's co-director of nuclear policy program at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, he countered notions that Russian and Chinese developments would eclipse U.S. hypersonic efforts. He said, "I don't necessarily agree with the characterization that the U.S. is on its back foot. All of the evidence I see," he said, "is that the U.S. has significantly more ambitious goals than the Russians and Chinese in this area." He added that, you know, "I don't want to pretend that these developments are irrelevant and that the U.S. can't just ignore them. You know, clearly there's a qualitative increase in the threat level with the development of a missile like Sirkon, which is significant," he said.
You know, these revelations about the ship-based missiles come a little more than 9 months after Putin had touted his nation's growing hypersonic arsenal as invincible. And Moscow's sprint to field this new breed of weapon has sparked fears over a budding arms race. And Putin had said in his March national address he wants to tell all of those who have fueled the arms race over the last 15 years, sought to win unilateral advantages over Russia. He says, "You have failed to contain Russia." Of the six weapons Putin unveiled in March, two of them reportedly will be ready by war by 2020. It's not very far away.
It's not. It looks, in my mind, wonder, you know, certainly as an observer to this, and you know, the U.S. Threatening to pull out of the INF treaty. Whether or not this is all meant to give both sides room to modernize its nuclear forces, and then they'll sit down at the bargaining table and figure out, you know, they'll come up with probably predetermined limits on these, you know, these new classes of weapons. I don't know if that's close to accurate or being totally naive, but it strikes me that, with both sides here, and China on, you know, as an important third party here, are racing to upgrade, that this could be, you know, the eventual agenda. Meanwhile, the rest of us bystanders, the billions of us who live across the globe, have to sit by as a possible another level of arms race, you know, takes hold. It's crazy. I thought this was over in the 80s and 90s, Melody.
Well, Surprise.
Yeah, really.
Surprise. Let's go ahead and briefly, let's talk a little bit about Wells Fargo. Are they shifting jobs overseas?
Oh, my absolute least favorite bank, large or small, on the face of this earth. You know, showing no shame, the too big to fail Wells Fargo Bank, which received $25 billion in taxpayer bailout money in 2008, and a subsequent $11 billion in additional federal aid, has laid off hundreds of U.S. employees during the past year as it pushed many of their jobs overseas. In the Charlotte, North Carolina, area, the bank's largest employment hub, mortgage jobs eliminated this year have also been sent overseas. Wells confirmed that. You know, the bank slashed hundreds of workers in the area, but won't disclose how many of those jobs it has sent outside of the U.S. Now, the documents published online recently by the U.S. Department of Labor sheds light on how Wells Fargo has quietly shifted work out of the country. You know, many of the U.S. layoffs have affected call center operations, including about 460 employees cut last year when Wells Fargo announced the closure of a call center site in Pennsylvania. You know, Wells Fargo hasn't always disclosed that it was relocating U.S. jobs and announcing the layoffs, but the documents, findings of Labor Department investigations into the cuts show that the bank has sent, indeed, the work outside of the country.
Well, didn't Wells Fargo decline to comment on their findings?
Of course.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Have they been caught lying again?
Yeah, again and again and again, I might say. You know, it's outrageous. It really is. You know, this was a Charlotte Observer investigation, the major daily newspaper in Charlotte. And, you know, it's not just that newspaper who's criticizing, you know, this deception. You know, Erin Mahoney, who works for the New York-based Committee for Better Banks, she said, Wells Fargo has been caught lying again. You know, she said this time, though, the bank tried to cover up why it's laying off frontline employees who live paycheck to paycheck instead of coming clean about shipping their jobs overseas. You know, Wells Fargo, you know, as we know, after prodding, criminal investigation, acknowledged that moving jobs overseas could be part of its efforts to centralize operations following that 2016 scandal involving fake accounts opened by bankers seeking to meet its senior management high-pressure sales goals. Yeah, Merry Christmas to you, Wells Fargo.
Well, this will be a good way to welcome in 2019. I guess Big Pharma is raising prices again in January. You have Novartis and Bayer. They're among nearly 30 drug makers that have taken steps to raise the U.S. prices of their medicines in January. So this is going to end a self-declared, like any big pharma is going to say, well, we're going to lower prices. I mean, did anybody really believe that?
Yeah, right.
Maybe the administration did, but this is going to end a self-declared halt to increases made by the pharma industry, of course, under pressure from the President Trump's administration. Other drug makers set to raise prices at the start of 2019 include Allergan, GlaxoSmithKline, Amgen, AstraZeneca, and Biogen, the documents show. So these hikes, and these are increases to the U.S. prices. Remember, we pay. We subsidize the world's medications. You know, that's, you know. But anyway, the hikes will pose a new challenge to Trump's pledge to lower the cost of prescription medications in the world's most expensive pharmaceutical market. So,
yeah. 28 drug makers, Melody, filed notifications with California in the last month, you know, saying they plan to raise prices in 2019. You know, under state law passed there last year, companies are required to notify payers in California if they intend to raise the U.S. list price on any drug by more than 16% over a two-year period. So you got 28 big pharmas who apparently are going to raise prices on drugs more than 16% over the next 2 years. You know, the California Correctional Department, its healthcare services, spends more than $3 billion annually on drugs for inmates, more than any other state. Now, that's not surprising, just based on, you know, the numbers, populations, what have you. Requests and public shaming haven't worked to lower drug prices. That was Michael Ray, who's chief exec of RX Saving Solution. That's a consulting firm. You know, he said, we expect the number of 2019 increases to be even greater than in past years.
Wow, even Pfizer, excuse me, they rolled back planned price increases back in July after Trump had said that the drug maker should be ashamed and that his administration would respond to the hikes. Pfizer said it would defer hikes until January. And Pfizer's move prompted many of its industry's peers, including Bayer, Novartis, Allergan, you know, the same ones, to follow suit. So,
You know, it'll be interesting that, you know, with this GlaxoSmithKline Pfizer merger that we talked about earlier in the week, was that $12-13 billion? That certainly isn't going to lessen any of the upward pressure, you know, on drug prices, you know, as, you know, things seem to get more monopolized.
And finishing out the hour, ladies and gentlemen, personal debt is climbing to new heights. Revolving credit card balances, that's those that carry from month to month, continue to inch up. $420 billion in late 2018, according to NerdWallet's annual analysis of U.S. household debt. It's an increase, 5%. And so more debt, debt, debt. Hey, we're out of time. And we're not going to have a program on Monday.
Merry Christmas, Melody.
Merry Christmas to you. And I want to wish all the listeners a very Merry Christmas. Be safe out there, ladies and gentlemen. And until we're back, be safe. And if anything major breaks, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that.
We might not be able to help ourselves, though.
Yeah, I know. It may be Monday. Anyway, be safe out there, ladies and gentlemen. Until then, God bless.
Bye-bye.